Thank you very much. What a blessing. Well, the service didn't start off with a blessing, but it's got better since then. I actually also got that email, and I showed it. Sam Ward was in the office, who heads up lots of our Eden work and other stuff at The Message, and his little daughter was in, Willow, who's six, and I showed her that picture, and I said, Willow, who's that? And she went, I don't know. Genuinely. Anyway, you could laugh, Butler, because 25 years time, you look like that. Yeah, 15 of you. Anyway, yeah, it's a delight to be here. And you can imagine, you know, for me just to be here watching this, I said at the start, The Message Trust started 31 years ago. We didn't officially start as a trust. We started doing some ministry out of a business I had in inner city Manchester. And then we formed a band just to go into schools to do what these guys do, except we didn't know what we were doing. But God just blessed it, and I was in the prayer room with Lucy and a bunch of others on Tuesday, and Simon, who was leading the prayer meeting, said, Lucy, just tell us the schools we're going into in the next few months. And she said, yeah, we're going into 9 out of 10 schools in Jersey, we're going into 35 schools in Cambridgeshire, we're going to 55 schools in South Wales, and then straight after Christmas, we go to Yorkshire, and we're looking at another 50 schools across Yorkshire. Imagine that, you know, you form the Worldwide Message Tribe just with a vision to go into schools with the gospel. And it's happening so much more than I could have ever dreamt or imagined. And we give God the praise that he keeps opening the doors. And we've had this many words over us that God's going to keep opening bigger and bigger doors. And this is a season of tremendous opportunity. And somebody's got to go through those doors, haven't they? Relevantly proclaiming Christ and calling young people to follow him. So that's what we're all about. And we do two things at The Message. You know, we do the what Jesus called salt and yeast ministry, where a little bit makes a massive difference. Like few Eden workers move into a tough community and it brings transformation. A few people go into a prison relevantly proclaiming Christ. But we also do the lamp on a stand, bold, unashamed. We're busy training hundreds and hundreds of evangelists. Actually, a vision for thousands in partnership with lots of other ministries. So to keep the gospel, the good news of Jesus, front and center. And my job as the founder or whatever is only twofold, really. Just keep mission hot, Jesus-centered mission, and keep prayer hot. And clearly, it's a lot more complicated than that in some ways, but that's why partnership is everything to us. I mean, I say this to the team as a bit of a mantra. Please let your first thought be partnership. And our key partnership is with local church. We're never going to plant a church on our own. We made that decision. We've got enough denominations. We just need them to get more missional, more on fire, more busy reaching out for Jesus. So we come alongside the local church and we work in partnership. And we come alongside people like you. And I just so appreciate what Andy said. We want to think partnership at The Message all the time. We don't want it to be one-way traffic. Come on, pray for us, church. Come on, give to us. How can we bless and stir up and encourage people in the local church to be more missional? And we come up with loads of resources. And we put so much effort into these resources to equip and help Christians to go for it. And so if you're able to become a partner, Andy said, I so appreciate the encouragement to partner financially with The Message, any amount regularly, or even if you're already a partner, which I know lots of people are because people have already said that to me before the service, which is amazing. If you can step that up at all, we'd love to give you a whole bunch of resources that we think will fuel you and encourage you. First of all, I'd love to give you this fantastic book that Sam Ward has pulled together, Unfinished, the story of 20 years of Eden. It'll knock your socks off. The story is these 700 people who've moved to live long-term in our most deprived communities. It's the biggest urban missionary movement since the Salvation Army, which is amazing, really. And that's, and every 3 days, a new person moves in to live in a deprived community somewhere in the UK. So one a month, we're planting new Eden teams. This is my most recent book called Here I Am, Seek Me, which is teaching from Isaiah, but even if you don't like my teaching, there's some spectacular testimonies in here, God-only testimonies. And there's this book, which the leadership team of The Message have written about The Message, called Being The Message, about the journey we've been on. And is there anything we've done that, you know, has got God's attention? Well, I think there is. A very ordinary bunch of people have been allowed to reach hundreds of thousands with the gospel. And this is the sort of values. Everybody who joins The Message has to read this book, but you don't have to join The Message to read it. It's called Being The Message. And then my favorite book in here is this book. I didn't write it. Tim Tucker, who heads up our work in South Africa, who's, I mean, he's a doctor of theology. He's like, he writes in such accessible language about servant leadership, and he's amazing, and he's been through a lot. And he's come out the other side doing amazing things in South Africa. And he's written this beautiful book, Christ-Centered Servant Leadership in the 21st Century. And there's also a website and resources and blogs to help you become the best you can be. And then finally, there's this, which is actually the pièce de résistance. So we're so privileged, you know, because we've grown as the message, that we have some of the world's best communicators come and share with us. People like Brother Andrew and Tony Campolo and Lewis Palau and, you know, Glyn Barrett from Manchester comes and stirs us up, but people who are absolutely ace communicators. And we decided we want to share that with our partners. So on this little pen drive is 100 of the best talks from the last 10 years. And it's yours to duplicate, share, listen in your car, hopefully be encouraged. And that's all for you. And you know what? Even if you can't partner with us and you're like, I'd really love one of those resources, just email me and I'll send it to you. And all the information is on the desk at the back there. Because I guess that you have not got schools knocking on your door saying, please come in and tell us about Jesus. Guess what the message have? You know, 90 before Christmas. We'll be in 90 schools. I guess you're not. Most people, some of you may, and if you are, please come and talk to us. Most of you may not be called to move into our most deprived communities to bring transformation. We've got people moving in. And the only thing that stops us actually, it growing this thing even faster, is financial resource. We've got the people, we've got the vision, we're raising up prayers. So if you're able to do that at all, please go and see the team who will all be with a tripwire by the message stand there in the back. No, they won't. Anyway, okay, let's get into the Bible together. And I love the fact that, you know, I'm just free to speak about anything. However, I'm actually full of faith that God's going to do something as I speak. Not because I'm an ace speaker, but because God loves to bless people. And because in the prayer meeting, we had a prayer meeting, those who were involved in the service before, and Andy's first prayer was, I walked in the prayer meeting a little bit late. I didn't know it was happening. So the first prayer I heard anyway was, Lord, just like you transformed the life of Zacchaeus, would you transform people in this church? Those were the words that came out of Andy's mouth as I walked in that prayer meeting. And I'm speaking about Zacchaeus. And I'm like, yeah, I must have told him, Danielle or something, and the message must have told him, but no, he didn't know. And it was just, I felt like it was the Lord. And you know, faith is rising in me that God's going to transform some lives in this place. He's going to take us. We're going to be different people because we've been in his presence under his word today. The story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, is found in Luke chapter 19, and it's Jesus at his most shocking, glorious, even outrageous. You know, I don't know about you, and I've been a Christian over 40 years, and in some areas, honestly, I'm still more confused than ever. There's bits of this book that, you know, I believe it all. I believe it's all God's words, and my faith, I've accepted it, but some of it I find hard. But I'm so glad we've got Jesus who makes sense of it all. He's absolutely amazing. And get Jesus in the right place and everything else falls into the right place in your life. And if you're going to start reading the Bible, maybe you're new to all this. If you're going to start reading the Bible, Luke's gospel will be a great place to start. It's a fantastic book. And there are five big themes in Luke's gospel that all come together beautifully in this story. The first big theme, as you read through Luke, is the power of prayer. Jesus modeled this incredible rhythm of prayer, retreating for time on his own with his Father and going out in the power of the Spirit. I don't know how many of you have been involved in this new prayer initiative that ourselves and Life Church and a bunch of other ministries and churches are partnering, Greater Manchester Prayer. How many people have been to that prayer meeting? Well, that's fantastic. But those of you who've got not raised your hand, please plan to be there on November the 22nd. It is God's doing something in this city, bringing us together to cry out. And it feels to me like one of the most significant things I've ever been involved in this city. The power of prayer and united prayer. Every great move of God has been birthed in united prayer and fueled by united prayer. And Jesus modeled it beautifully throughout Luke, just how important it was. The second big theme of Luke's gospel is the problem of riches. And I deliberately use that phrase because, again, read Luke's gospel and tell me it doesn't say there is a problem around riches. riches can actually take us out. Jesus said riches can choke the work of God in your life. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So there is a problem around riches that can only be, actually, the problem can only find its solution in Jesus. As we hold lightly to the things of this world and live a life of generosity. Third great theme of Luke is Jesus' identification with the most broken members of society, the hurting and the lost and the gangsters and the prostitutes and the street people, the criminals. You can't get away from it. It's not just he loved them, he thoroughly identified with them. He moved into their space all the way through Luke. And the fourth thing is Jesus' urgency. You feel it. You'll feel it as we read the passage in a moment. Jesus' urgency and desire to have a people. Jesus will have a people. He will have a family. He will have a people of God. He is going to populate heaven. And you can feel his urgency to do that in Luke. And the final theme is faith springing up everywhere in all sorts of unusual places that recognizes Jesus as Lord. I'm praying it'll happen this morning. Faith will spring up. I can't make anyone a Christian. No amount of arm waving at the front and passionate preaching is going to save anyone. But Jesus loves to save. And faith can rise this morning. A miracle can happen, the greatest miracle in the world. And at the end of this service, you'll get an opportunity, if you don't know Christ, to put your faith in him. So let's read the passage. The story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. From Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he climbed ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." Much of inner city Manchester, or certainly large parts, it seems to be run by certain firms, families often, who deal all the low-life dirty stuff. You know, at one level, they're creaming off the car parks and they've got the protection rackets and the loan sharks. But, you know, another, even darker level, they run the prostitution and the human trafficking, and all kinds of wickedness revolves around these families often. The chief constable of Greater Manchester said, "If I could just nick 17 people, I'd transform this city." 17 leaders are at the centre, you know, 70 chief criminals. And I've got a feeling that Zacchaeus was a guy like that. He was a chief tax collector. And, you know, if you're a tax collector, good on you. Let's all pay our taxes. Back then, it wasn't like working for the HMRC today. These were people who'd sold out to the occupying forces. And it was a kind of pyramid selling scheme, but a wicked one that ripped off the poor. And they were allowed to keep any extra they could take, hand some over to the Romans. And they were amongst the most hated people in society. Man, you had to love money to be a tax collector. You could earn a lot of money, but you were truly hated for selling out. It's like almost like working for the Nazis in the Second World War. That's the kind of guy Zacchaeus was. And there was a group in Israel at this time called the Zealots. And their job was to basically slit the throat of every tax collector. They hated these men with a vicious hatred. And isn't it fascinating that in Jesus' house group was Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector? There's only Jesus can bring those two kind of people together. But anyway, a few years ago, we came across one of these lovely families, close up and personal, in that Andy Smith, who lived on our Eden team in Harper Hay, who's a gentle soul, creative worship leader, he came out of his house and saw an attempted murder on his doorstep this lad smashing another lad over his head with a paving stone. And it was one of these families. It was the young boys in one of these families who was doing it. And nobody ever testifies against this family. You just don't want to go there. Yeah, Andy felt, came to see us and thought, I really need to go to the police and tell them what I'm saw. And this guy was rushed off to hospital and praise God he made a recovery. But Andy, we're like, well, you need to pray about it, mate, because that's not a funny thing to do. But he really felt somebody's got to stand up to this family that's holding this community in such a grip. So he went to the police and a little while later got a knock on his door. It was the uncle of one of these families offering him £20,000 to drop the charges. And so with the understanding of what will happen if you don't. So we're like, whoa, this is now. We are properly out of our depth. And we prayed. We pulled Andy off the estate. And believe it or not, six times, not once, once would have been encouraging, six times the next day, Andy Smith got sent the same scriptures. You know, like text, email, phone call. Some people who knew the situation, some who didn't. Exactly the same scriptures from Psalm 91. I mean, is that the Lord or is that the Lord? Do you want to know what the scriptures were? No harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him and show him my salvation. Is that a fantastic scripture for Andy Smith at that time in his life? So anyway, the guy was arrested on remand in prison. During a week when our missions team are in the very prison he's in. And we're doing a mission week and we got to spend a lot of time. And somehow this guy softened and pleaded guilty. And at that time, so he ended, he's doing a long sentence. But at that time, two of these uncles both died. I'm not saying the Lord killed them. I don't know what happened. Something happened. One of them was shot and one of them was run down. And it was like the grip of that family was broken by this gentle worship leader who was standing up for righteousness by the word of the Lord being spoken into a situation. And you're thinking to me, well, I never get six times the same scripture sent me, do I? Well, move on to an Eden team then. Live on the cutting edge. Sometimes our lives are so safe and so comfortable. But when we really, really need the Lord, he's there for us. He's amazing. So I tell you that story because I think Zacchaeus could have been a guy like that. A chief tax collector, top of this dirty trade. And at this point in his life, Jesus was like the man on a mission. He was on a mission, absolutely tunnel vision and focus. He kept saying, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die, for that is why I came. The disciples didn't like to hear it, but Jesus made it very clear. There was a period in his life when he went, the time's not yet, the time's not yet. Then he said, the time is now. I must go to Jerusalem on this incredible rescue mission to die for our sins and rise again and conquer sin and death once and for all. He knew what he'd come for. That's what he'd come for. He's like the ultimate man of vision. And yet, Jesus constantly, on this trek to Jerusalem, allowed messed up humanity to cut across his plans. The most broken people. He just stops off for meals here and goes to parties here and meets this person on the street and heals this person and forgives this person. He's just constantly cut across by people's plans. And I'm convicted by that. Because Michelle constantly rebukes me by saying, you weren't listening to them, Andy. It was happening again. Your eyes were going all glazed. And you were looking up to the ceiling and they were pouring their heart to you about their vision. And you were thinking about your vision. It's actually not that funny. It's a bit sad to be such a psycho visionary. And I've seen other leaders do it, other business people. They just tune out. Do you know what I'm talking about? But Jesus never tuned out. Even though he had this massive vision, he was able just to engage with the one. Oh, help me to be more like that, Jesus. And as Jesus passed through, he wasn't stopping off in Jericho. He had no plans to go for dinner at someone's house. There's this nasty little man who's climbed his tree to look at Jesus. As he passed through, he came across Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. And the Bible says when he reached the spot, I like that too, this, but it's like when he reached the place of destiny, when he reached the bullseye, he saw this man up there, and the Bible says, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must have dinner at your house tonight. Don't you love Jesus? I mean, what is he thinking of? You know, you're the holiest man who's ever lived, and I can imagine what the dinners were like at Zacchaeus' house. You know, table fellowship was a big deal in Jesus' day. Posh people ate with posh people, religious people with religious people, poor people with poor people, tax collectors with tax collectors. So you can imagine what the language was like. You can imagine the inappropriate jokes, the amount of alcohol that was consumed and all those other things. And yet in the middle of it was Jesus, and he was loving being there because he'd reached out. The Bible says Zacchaeus came down immediately and welcomed him into his house. See, Jesus is constantly calling people by name. Wherever Jesus is around, the Holy, you know, you can't see him, but his Holy Spirit's here this morning. Wherever Jesus is around, there's people, and it's like your spot. It's your time. And everything's going to be changed. You're going to be bowled off your feet by Jesus. It's your time. Where it's happening all over the world. You know, like 2 billion people are gathering in his name today, and there's going to be millions of these spots when Jesus, it's just your time. Anybody with a little bit of faith, it could be my time. It could be time for my breakthrough, time for my salvation, time for my encounter, and nothing's the same. John Sewell had an encounter on an Eden team. And look at him now. He was into drugs and nonsense. And instead of all that rubbish, he's now dealing the gospel. Isn't it amazing? So they set off for dinner. And Jesus was like, I'm really looking forward to tonight. Because I came to seek and save that which was lost. I'm going to be with loads of lost people. This is where I want to be. This is where my father would have me be. I'm just loving this, walking off. But the religious posse are like, oh, he's going to eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners. And another time they said, oh, Jesus, that friend of sinners. Anybody glad Jesus is a friend of sinners in this place? Anybody be stuffed if Jesus wasn't a friend of sinners? Anybody need a savior like Jesus? So he made his way to Zacchaeus' house and he shared this meal together and had a beautiful time. And Zacchaeus is just bowled over. He's just overwhelmed by the love of God. Even for me, I thought I was excluded. I thought I was forgotten. Everyone hates me. Everyone thinks I'm the guy who hates people and loves money. And suddenly, in the encounter, in the presence of the Savior, repentance happens. Repentance that brings life. Look what happened. Zacchaeus stood up in front of all these guys and said, look, Lord, that's a good start, isn't it? Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, he's cheated quite a few. If I cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times the amount. It's called repentance. You see, becoming a Christian isn't sticking your hand up in a meeting. It's laying it all down for Jesus. It's allowing the most personal, intimate parts of your life to be on the altar. If finance has got a grip on your heart, give like Zacchaeus did. And what fun he must have had over the next few weeks. Can you imagine it? You just imagine, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but it obviously happened, didn't it? On the back of this. You know, all these houses and there's the gangster at the door. And they're all hiding behind the settees. If they had settees in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. Probably not, did they? But anyway, they're all hiding in the corner and there he is at the door. He's come to rip us off again. All the threats, all the intimidation, all the nastiness going to charge us way over the odds. Hello, it's me, it's Zacchaeus. Kids, keep quiet. I know you're in there. I'm not going to tax you. I'm going to give you something. I want to bless you. I'm here to bless you. And I know I'll rip you off. I'm so sorry. But I've met this man, Jesus, who's forgiven my sins and given me a fresh start. And so I don't just want to give you back, you know, 100 shekels that I ripped off. Get ready. 400. Boom. Now, can we just sit down and talk about this Jesus? It will have happened, won't it? I'm sure it will have happened. Because you see, the reason the angels get excited when one person gets saved is because one person never gets saved. One person is always placed at the center of ever-expanding spheres of influence. One person who really repents and shows it by the lifestyle and then goes out and multiplies the way Zacchaeus did. It's the most powerful thing in the world. It's the most exciting thing in the world. Oh, God, well, can it happen today here? Can it happen through us? Can we be involved in this adventure? Multiplying out. And Jesus explained it by saying this. Look, you may not get why I want to be with this nasty little man who's so broken and caused so much damage. But I'm here because this is why I came. I came to seek and save that which was lost. I wonder if at the start of this service I'd ask you to turn to the person next to you and say, why did Jesus come? You know, there's a question, theological question. Why did Jesus come? I bet you we wouldn't have got the answer that Jesus gave. You would have said he came to save people. He came to build a bridge to God. He came to die for our sins. He came to pour out his spirit on all flesh. All good answers, but all me-centered answers, actually. Don't you think so? So much of our Christianity is about me. And God does want to bless you, but he wants to bless you so you're a blessing. And written over our churches and over our meetings and over our lives should be, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. When we have our budget meetings, when we have our planning, we ought to be written over it. Jesus came to seek that which was lost. And we need to be with him in that great mission. That's why prisons ministry is such a buzz. Because you don't have to spend half the time trying to convince the guys the lost and the sinners. And it's like shelling peas, getting them to make commitments in prison. It really is. Of course, there's an awful lot of discipleship needs to take place. That's why the Enterprise Center is so important. And Jesus isn't counting decisions, he's counting disciples. Well, the first thing is to know you're a sinner. You're as lost as Zacchaeus. Even if you think you're a good religious person, you're lost without Christ. But he came to save you. And he came to save everyone. And he's on a mission. And he didn't stop when he was walking on this earth. He poured out his spirit. And he said, what did he say? Just before he went back to heaven, he breathed on the disciples. And he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. We were singing songs about being filled with the Spirit earlier, aren't they? Earlier in the service. The Father sent me to seek that which was lost. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Send us out of this church on this spectacular rescue mission in your name and get great glory through it. Let us have some fantastic trophies. Some of the biggest nutters in this city coming to Christ and turning their lives around, going from the problem to the answer. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. I do believe, and I think Andy's prayer sparked something. Actually, I was meant to say this morning, and this is from you. This is a word to this church, and it's a word to individuals. And I pray, will you be very present now, Holy Spirit? Just a moment with you, weighing up the way we spend our lives and spend our money and spend our time. Those of us who are Christians, when you've called us to go out and seek those who are lost and introduce them to you. For those of us who are Christians, in this holy moment right now, if you just want to say, oh God, I want seeking and saving those who are lost for you, Jesus, to be a far greater priority. Speak to me, Lord, whatever it's going to cost so that my life can count. The only thing I'm going to take with me is people. And I want to take a lot of people. If this morning you're like, I've gone cold in this area, set me on fire. Or even ignite that to a greater level. Sent out of here. If that's like God's been speaking to you this morning, just I'd love to pray a blessing over you. So would you just stand where you are? If there's like people who want to say, yeah, that's it. Just all for you, Jesus. All on your rescue mission. Rescued to be a rescuer. Speak to me, Lord, about my time, about my finances, about our priorities. God, fresh vision, fresh passion, fresh urgency for those who don't know Jesus. Lord, I know if all these men and women really mean this, Jesus, this church will not be the same. Jesus. It'll be far more messy, but far more amazing. Jesus. We pray this can be a rescue mission. Life Church, Sale, Heal Green can be rescue missions. Pray we'll rescue many and take many with us. Many for you, Lord. I pray for the most fruitful Alpha course ever. Full of lost people finding you. I pray for fresh initiatives, fresh vision. I pray the leadership team will seek you over this and you'll speak, Lord. The Lord says not just to the message 30 years ago, but to this church, see, I'm doing a new thing. There's a new thing here. Do you not perceive it? And it involves rivers in the desert. Wild animals honoring him. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just speak to your people, God. Speak to us, Lord, and we'll obey. Show us what it looks like to be on the cutting edge of your purposes. Thank you, Jesus.